Open your Bibles with me this morning, if you will, into the Old Testament book of Micah, reading from the 5th chapter and verse 2 of Micah chapter 5. I remember some years ago when I had the privilege to go to the Holy Land, what a blessing it was to go down to Bethlehem and to think that that's where it all started, to go into the place. They built a church over the place where they say that the Christ child was born, but what a blessing it is to go to such a holy and sacred place. You know, where Jesus was, the passing of time does not distill or erase his presence. The power of his presence seems to still be in those places where he was nearly 2,000 years ago. Reading from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The definition of Christmas to Christians is hope. Christ is the blessed hope spoken of by Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. He is the lively or living hope spoken of by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He is the better hope of Hebrews 7, verse 19. He is the steadfast hope of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. He is the abounding hope of Romans 15, verse 13. And he is the hope of glory, Colossians 1, 27. And Christ has placed this hope clearly within our grasp for one reason and one reason only. God took the initiative and ordained a day when he, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, would step down from the light of glory and enter the darkness of our world of sin and woe. And when he came, he brought with him light. He is the light of the world, and in him is no darkness at all. He is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. If you'll remember, the first recorded words of God found in the Bible are over in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light." And when Christ came, light came into the world. Think about it. The Creator, the one who made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made, is now made in the likeness of sinful man. The Word, John tells us, who was in the beginning with God and was God, is now made flesh to dwell among us so that we may behold his glory. That immortal one is now clothed with mortality. He's now swaddled himself, so to speak, with a robe of flesh. The Almighty God has now limited his attribute of omnipresence to dwell in a human body. But he brings with him the assurance of certainty for life in the here and now and confidence for the future. He brings with him the gift of salvation. The gift of God is eternal life, which, like the little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, can be broken and divided amongst all the inhabitants of this earth. It's made available to all, and it is sufficient for all. When he came down to this obscure village of Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. He came in the stillness of the darkness of night. He came to a couple of weary pilgrims from Nazareth who could find no lodging place. The biblical record states that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God's love gift to mankind. Born in a stable to a virgin mother. Without this night scene featuring a babe in a manger of Bethlehem of Judea, there would be no hope for this world. No possible way to bring reconciliation or to bring peace between an offended God and a wayward world. We read that at his birth, the angels appeared to the shepherds as they watched their flocks in the fields of Bethlehem by night. And the angel of the Lord was accompanied by the background music from heaven's angelic choir. They'd been rehearsing that song for thousands of years. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then, in the spotlight of God's glory, the angel of the Lord steps out onto the stage of eternity with the world's greatest proclamation. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds went. They saw, they believed, they worshiped, and they returned, praising and glorifying God. When this little Jewish boy was 8 days old, to fulfill the law of Moses, he was circumcised and given a name. Jesus. 9 months before, the angel Gabriel had said to Mary, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. Then the angel Gabriel went to Joseph and told him, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And now, in obedience to that angelic advice, and in fulfillment of that messianic prophecy given by Isaiah in chapter 7 and verse 14, over 700 years before, Emmanuel is come, which being interpreted is God with us. God manifest in the flesh. When he was 40 days old, they took him into the temple at Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord. One thing I like is baby dedication. Parents are usually so proud of their newborn child that they want to dedicate that baby to the Lord. My mother said that before I was born, she asked God to make me a gospel singer. Well, it didn't work out just that way. Somehow, God went her one better. I think she was satisfied that God made me a preacher. And this is no reflection on singers at all. But now we have in the temple baby Jesus brought for his dedication, presented to the Lord. And in walks an old, old man. His name is Simeon. Simeon was a just and a devout man, we're told. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And God, the Holy Spirit, had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now he comes into the temple and he sees the baby Jesus. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him, and he knew that this was the one. He went over and took that little baby boy out of his mother's arms, held him to his bosom, and prayed, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Then in comes Anna. Anna is a very elderly lady who served God day and night with fastings and prayers in the temple. Anna had married. Her husband had died after they'd been married 7 years. And at this particular time, she's been a widow for 84 years. And that she too saw the Christ child. And she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And she spoke to all those in Jerusalem that looked for redemption. What a testimony she gave. Well, a little later, some wise men came from the east looking for him who was born King of the Jews. They followed his star until it came and stood over the house where the young child was. And in his presence they fell down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now that was long ago and far away. Today, 2010, we look forward with great expectation to the imminent return of this Lord. He's coming, you know. His return is on the horizon. And as the song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And the eye of faith can see a blissful 1,000 years of millennial peace that's drawing near. The eye of faith can see a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The eye of faith can see the new Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband, stretching out into the endless realms of eternity. Its beautiful walls of jasper, its gates of pearl, streets of pure transparent gold, mansions in glory, all because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now this is not wishful thinking. This is not a delusional fantasy. This is reality. This is what it's all about. This is a reality that's been shared by millions of believers who have walked in the light that Christ came to provide. So today, as we gather together around that manger to celebrate our common faith, we are still trying to comprehend the fullness, the immensity of what took place in Bethlehem those many years ago. Christmas is a celebration of family, and we are family. We are the children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ through faith in Him. Our family knows no limitations of space or time. And at this time of the year, all this great family of faith the world over will lift our hearts in praise with thanksgiving to God for His matchless gift that He's given. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. We're going to have a verse of invitation, and then we're going to have a baptismal service here in just a moment. But perhaps there's one here today in this congregation who has never asked Jesus into their hearts. Maybe there's one today who has never confessed Him before men. Jesus said that if we'll confess Him before men, that He will confess us before His Father, which is in heaven. And speaking of confession, says that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Brother David, if you will come, we're going to have prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow today to give you thanks again for your wonderful, matchless grace. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary, a sacrifice that took away all of our sins, even the sins of the whole world. So if there's one here today that is unsaved, that does not have the assurance in their heart that they are going to heaven when they die, I pray that now will be the time when they will come and make that profession of faith in Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Number 487.
Seated. For a moment, I want to ask Brother Bryant to come turn the service over to him. You want to say a few words?
What a privilege it is to have your young people, especially great grandchildren, say, "Grandpa, we want to come and have you baptize us." Yeah. Now, these youngsters have been saved. I made sure of that. And they're here. They're coming down from Los Angeles this morning. They've driven all the way down this Christmas time to have great-grandfather baptize them. And so we're going to do that right now. And we appreciate you being here. God bless you.
We have come to fulfill the Great Commission that says, "Go ye into all the world, teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to again observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always until the end of the world age." We fulfill that commission as a church, as these come, who have their own church, but desire that this great-grandfather give them the baptismal ceremony. This is Jacob. Jacob, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I want you to know that these waters do not wash away your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is for you. And upon your profession of faith, you're showing the death and the burial and the resurrection of your Savior, your God. Amen?
Amen.
Upon your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, my little brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father, we commit this young man to you, that you may bless him with many gifts, that he might serve you in the days ahead that you give to him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Emily, you have believed that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. Have you received him? Amen. And upon your profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised up in the likeness of his resurrection. young lady to you, that you give her the gifts that she'll need to serve you in the days ahead. Amen. Emmeline, Christ, have you accepted your Jesus as Savior and Lord? I want you to get to know these baptisms and waters do not save you. He did that on Calvary's cross when he died, was buried, and raised again, coming again one day to receive you unto himself. Until then, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised up in the likeness of the resurrection. That she might need to serve you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you for this opportunity. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Didn't I make for a wonderful Christmas?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you. Good to be here in the house of the Lord. Remember, our service is tonight at 6 o'clock, covered with blood is the text of our message, but it's a little bit deeper than that. We're going to go into Egypt tonight in our message, and we're going to find out why the blood of a Passover lamb was applied to the sides, the lintels, and the doorpost of the door in Egypt, rather than sprinkling the people themselves or painting the door with blood or something like that. And this will go back into, we'll bring in some Egyptian religion into this. And I think it'll be a blessing to you tonight. We're going to open up some things that I'm sure will be a blessing to you. And Wednesday evening, for our Wednesday night service, I would like for us, we finished the book of Daniel, I would like for us to have a special Wednesday evening service. And I would like for you to begin preparing now a memory of one of your outstanding Christmases to share with us this coming Wednesday night. We're going to let you take the service Wednesday night and share with us some of the blessings that God has brought into your life on Christmases past. All right? And I think that'll be a wonderful service. Let's stand together now and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard. We thank you for your blessed word and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for these children that have been baptized today. Keep your hand upon them, dear Lord, and use them for your name's honor and glory. Bless this congregation today, Father. I thank you for their presence here and pray your richest blessings upon each and every one of them, individually and collectively. Bless those that are absent from us, that were unable for some reason or other not to be able to attend the service today. Particularly, Lord, we pray for those that are sick, that your healing hand might reach out and touch them and raise them up from their infirmity. Go with us now. Watch over us this afternoon. Bring us back again tonight. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. May the Lord bless you.